This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 157, on our hands and knees on the cutting room floor. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best, wait, the fucking best, girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. Ninja Sister is sick, so that leaves you with just me, Pandalicious. Before I get to this week's special episode of Ash First, I have to tell you the secret that we've been keeping from you. Now look, I'm sorry we haven't been honest with you guys, but the time has come to reveal all of it to you. Okay, you pervs, before you get all hot and bothered, let me break it down for you one time. Originally, this week's show was going to be a reveal of our very own brother show. That's right, there had been some talk about it before, but it's finally a reality. So first off, you gotta keep hitting us up on the website, electricsisterhood.com, or the short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any comments or questions about those articles or just for us, you can email us now at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there, along with the podcasts of the Boston Bastard Brigade. That's them if you didn't get it. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network. That's right, you can hear us, the Electric Sisterhood, currently on Monday nights, 8:30 Eastern Time, which is 5:30 Pacific Time. While you're there checking us out, you can check out some other great shows, like Dead Pigs Alive, Evil Avatar, Ultimate Quest, Video Game Outsiders, Orange Lounge Radio, Fantastic Forum, and don't forget, Bobby Blackwolf Show and Friday Night Gaming. Check them out and tell them to check us out here at electricsisterhood.com. Since Ninja is still overcoming the effects of a summer cold that swept through her workplace, it has left me in charge of the show. So what am I going to do with all this free time? I'm going to present you with a clip show. That's what I'm going to do. As you might imagine, we get kind of long-winded here. Okay, we talk too damn much. So much, in fact, that we actually have to cut a whole lot of it out. Can you believe that? All those lots that I was just talking about are all over the place in our cutting room floor. So I've been on my hands and knees, picking it all up, making it all nice and pretty, because we know, or rather, I know, no, we know, you don't want to miss a minute of what's going on over here. First up, we start as we do with many of our shows, with listener questions, when we get them, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. In episode 143, it ran a little long, so we had to cut this question out from our good friend Gerald Smith. Have a listen.
Got a question in from Gerald Smith, who wanted to know a couple things. If we are excited about Velvet Assassin, Damnation, or Dante's Inferno. And he wanted to know if we thought that there might be more anime on TV, since things like Anime Network and the anime programming on things like Sci-Fi and Adult Swim are picking up. And on the same token, the video game programming, since, you know, WCG, WCS, WCGS,
WTF,
whatever the thing is.
ROFL.
And G4. Here's my thing. I've talked about Velvet Assassin before. I started talking about it the moment that I was treated to a demo of it at PAX and had an absolute wonderful time with it. And I was really interested in seeing a female lead character that wasn't softened. I was a little taken aback, to be honest with you, where they started doing the flashback sequences, and I'm like, why is she doing the flashback sequence in a very short nightie that's covered in blood? Like, well, why does she have to... Yeah. Basically, you start the game as Violet, and you are in a coma.
Okay.
In a hospital. And so you progress through the game, basically, as a series of flashbacks. So every mission that you have is a flashback in Violet's mind. So everything's already happened. When you start the
game... You're just reliving it.
Basically. Which I think is an interesting mechanic.
Mm. Yeah, but didn't they do something like that, you know, like with the idea of Assassin's Creed, where these are just thoughts of an ancestor that are, like, in your mind? So they're things that have already happened, but not necessarily to you?
Well, yes and no. So the base mechanic is the same as Assassin's Creed, so I'm with you on that. Because she is reliving things, basically the player is reliving things in her past.
Okay.
And it's all about unraveling how Violet wound up in the hospital.
Okay.
So that to me is very interesting. Whereas with Assassin's Creed, even when you finish the game, you weren't any further along and understanding with exactly what the hell is going on. I mean, you ended the game still stuck in that room, just looking at the walls. That was the end of the game. By the way, kind of a letdown, dude.
A little melodramatic.
A little anticlimactic. Because you're just like, all of that, and you're just still stuck in the room. They walk away. Like, we'll be back with you. And nothing. Big letdown. So I'm
disappointment.
My disappointment level has reached 9.
It's over 9,000!
Anyway,
oh, come on, you know that joke, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. I am not very excited about Damnation, but it's not the type of title that I usually get excited about anyway. And I haven't really spent a lot of time taking a look at Dante's Inferno, to be honest with you. So, Jarrell, that one I'm going to have to look into. But I'm still excited about Velvet Assassin. Even with a few things about the gameplay that I want to see how the mechanic works. I think that there's going to be a lot of controversy around the game because one of the gameplay mechanics is to basically go into super Violet mode. You kind of got to inject yourself with morphine.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So I imagine that a lot of activist groups are going to jump on that one with the video games, get your kids using drugs and violence and sex and whatever.
Heroin hero, chase the dragon.
Oh, you almost caught me. You almost caught me. You can do it. I believe you. Chase me. So I'm interested in seeing what that controversy turns out to be because there's going to be some. But I definitely want to play the game. And I'm looking forward to playing a game as a strong female character.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. As far as the anime stuff on TV and the content as well as the game stuff, I don't know. I really don't know. I think that it's very telling that Adult Swim has moved their anime block to 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. on Saturday night. I think that's very telling of them even getting away from the anime block and moving more towards either the American animation, like Family Guy, which has been doing gangbusters for them, and Robot Chicken, and, you know, Venture Brothers, and then their live-action stuff like the Mighty Boosh and, you know, things like that, Tim and Eric.
Did you just say the Mighty Boosh?
Have you not seen the Mighty Boosh?
No.
You do not watch enough Adult Swim.
The Mighty
Boosh
I don't.
Is the shit.
Mighty Boosh.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
You should check that out after the show. But I think that it's very telling that Adult Swim, which made a big chunk of their audience off of the anime block, moving away from it. Because I know one of the biggest things and reasons why I tuned into Adult Swim was because that's where they put and moved all the anime. When they moved it out of the afternoon slot, they moved it into Adult Swim. And then they started bringing in some better titles. They brought in Ghost in the Shell. They brought in Second Gig. They brought in Code Geass. You know, they brought in Big O. You know, that kind of thing into the anime block, which made me want to watch it. Then they kind of fucked up a little bit and they brought in Rave Master, which is awful. But they repented for that by bringing in more Ibido. But while Anime Network is doing well, I wouldn't say that they were doing gangbusters. Okay, there are still areas, depending upon your cable provider, where instead of having an entire channel that's 24 hours of programming, you have to pay, like I do, a monthly fee in order to get it on demand. And so they only release certain episodes every week, one day a week. And that's just not enough anime. I wouldn't necessarily call that gangbusters. Like, there are some months where I look ahead and see what programming that they're going to make available. And if there's not two titles that I want to watch, I, you know, decide not to pay for Anime Network on demand at that time. So I think that things like the Funimation channel, depending upon your provider, are great to have. And I really would like to see more become available. I think that anime is a big enough business over here that there's enough draw both on the teen edge and the adult edge to enjoy a few full schedule anime channels. But I think that there are just so many things that are, or subject matter that's taboo as far as the American audiences are concerned, to allow that to happen. I think that there's, you know, just in like what we were talking about today, so much that would have to be or would be censored out of it that it's just not a successful model. I think the thing that keeps the video games thing from really taking off on a channel of its own is nobody really knows how to put their finger on the pulse of the gaming community. Okay, you look at Spike, and on paper, gamers should fucking love Spike. When you think about it, when you put down what Spike is supposed to be.
We're supposed to, but we don't.
And it's because, well, on paper, what they're supposed to be sounds great. The delivery is not. Okay, like, MXC is funny to me. But it's funny to me in the same way that Family Guy is. And a whole channel devoted to that and shows like Stripperella are not going to appeal to me. And in all honesty, when you take a look at the numbers, they're not going to appeal to the majority of the gamer base. Love it or hate it, agree with it or disagree with it, the majority of the gamer base, when you throw handhelds in, are women. And most of us are not going to enjoy Stripperella 5 times a week. Which is not. You know, so I think that it's so difficult to pin down what is successful entertainment geared toward gamers. Because on G4, the only thing that I can stomach to watch
is
occasionally X-Play. But more times than not, I like Icons. I like watching the history of how people that have gotten so high up in the industry have gotten there, what their climb was, which is basically like Biography Channel, but for specifically on the gamers. But that does not a network make. I preferred G4 when it was Tech TV.
Right.
When they made the switch over and pretty much turned the screensavers into Attack of the Show, and ripped all the guts out of the show of what I actually enjoyed, I don't find it useful. Pereira in a fake mustache does not entertainment for me make. And so I think that there's a lot of fighting for identity. I think that because G4 can't figure out how to speak to their own demographic, that you have fewer startup ventures that want to jump into it.
Yeah.
Because if you can't put your finger on what it is, you can't sell it to somebody. And if you can't sell it to somebody, you're not going to make any money. And ultimately, That's what any channel that comes into being is looking after. They're looking at ad revenue. And if you can't sell and pitch to your funding people, you damn sure aren't going to be able to pitch to your audience. So I don't think that you'll see more game and gaming community related channels. I think that what you'll see is more and more communities pop up on the interweb, both user content built and not. I mean, take a look now. You've got our community. You've got the All Games community. We're overlapping. Platform Nation gets up in there. And you look at things like the community over at Kotaku, Destructoid. I mean, just taking a look. GirlGamer.com. I mean, it's ridiculous how many of us are out there building our own communities and then weaving those communities together. I think that you'll see that. I think that you'll see an internet distribution channel, which is what Podshow now Mevia wanted to be and fell just awfully short of. I think you'll see that before you see an actual broadcast on cable network. Gamers are on the interwebs. The only time
that's our TV.
That's pretty much our TV. So I don't see it happening on the set-top box. I see it happening on the interwebs. And then it's going to become, well, how do you find the thing that's really good and interesting? You ask us. We'll tell you what's good. We'll tell you what to watch. So, I mean, what do you think, Panda?
The interwebs is the gamer's TV. Anything that we find entertaining, like the things that we gamers tend to really find entertaining, are on the internet. More and more gamers are watching less and less TV. So,
or watching, I think, some of the stuff that would be on the set-top box on the interwebs.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how big Hulu's now come on.
I love Hulu.
4OD has popped up and Vimeo. I think that the shift is moving away from the TV other than the console box and moving just to the portable entertainment center. I think that's why you see, you know, netbooks and portable laptops just doing gangbusters right now. It's because people are watching their entertainment and they're getting it all digital, either streaming it or they've got it on their personal players. And I think that leading that edge is the gaming market. I mean, you can just take a look at it. If you go to an event like a PAX or you go to any geeky trade show event, CES, an AnimeCon, Digital Life, I don't care. If you take a look at any given point in time, you're going to look down a hallway and there's going to be a shitload of people sitting on the floor, either creating their own wireless networks, jumping on a wireless network. Some of them will be doing work and most of them will be streaming media of some kind. And I think that that's a big benchmark.
I will agree.
I use Hulu for the stuff I can't get on the iTunes store.
I love Hulu.
Full screen? Shit. That's awesome. So, hope that gives you some food for thought on your question, Jarell. And I know you've got more, so keep sending them to us.
Here's an oldie from the days when Magic Mystic Girl was on the show. God, how long ago was that? Anyway, when the three of us sat together on this episode, we talked about Portal and the just-announced Portal 2.
Okay.
So I've been playing a lot of Portal. I'm about halfway through Portal. I'm sad.
You are aware that they're releasing a second Portal game?
Yeah, I'm already sad that Portal 1 is so short.
Do you know how
GLaDOS isn't even going to be in the second game, guys. Spoilers.
Dude.
What?
Dude.
GLaDOS isn't even in the second game.
Dude.
Oh. Just thought I'd tell you. Because I'm a spoiler.
Dude, can I tell you how much noise I would have made if I had been in the audience at the time that they announced Portal? I probably would have jumped up so high that I would have leapt over somebody and knocked them over.
Wait, they announced Portal 2.
Portal 2.
Portal 2 still alive.
I would have been screaming and jumping, and I hadn't even played it at that point.
Yep. Oh my god. The video is really simple because it just has the name and then GLaDOS speaking about it, and it's like short. It's not even 15 seconds, and I was just like salivating at the computer. I kept playing it over and over again.
Is it going to be longer this time?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I keep like drawing it out and making it as long as possible because I know it's a fucking short game.
Yeah, you could probably get through the whole thing in 3 hours. Maybe even less.
And I keep being like, okay, I'm going to walk away from it for today. Yes. You know, I'm going to savor it.
You can get through Portal in like 3 hours if you don't get stuck on that fucking velocity puzzle. I'm sorry, I just can't let that go. That puzzle makes
sense. Which one's the first one?
No, the one where you have to shoot the hole above you and then down you, and then as you gain speed, then shoot another one so that you fall out and shoot off at an angle.
The first one where it teaches you to do that?
No, the second one where you have to do it.
Actually do it.
Oh. Well, I've done three or four of those now, so.
Yeah, no, the one that I'm talking about is where they have those fields that are up and you've got to get into the other room, and the only way that you can do that is you have to stand in front of the doorway that you walk in. There's a panel.
Yeah, that one stopped me for like 3 minutes.
Fuck you! It took me an hour.
I'm stuck in that one. You have to defeat all the shooty robots, and then there's a giant room, and you have to take out the robots, and up on your you come into the room underneath this thing that comes up. You press the button and it moves out and pushes up, and you go into the room. And then off to your left there's a door and I think it's an energy thing. And I can't figure out how to get to the cube, which is on the second level. It's like you're on a moving platform, and you have to jump to get to the cube, and I can't get there. I can't figure out how to get there, because all the walls around it are the you can't use portals here walls.
Wait, is that the one that has the platforms that are moving on a laser?
Yes.
Did you look up? Because there's one where you can get to the cube. You have to shoot the ceiling above where the area of the cube is, and then shoot below you so you basically fall through the floor and land on the panel where the cube is.
No, because below me is the electric toxic water shit.
Oh, that one! Yeah, that one's a pain in the ass.
Wait, how did you do it? Because every time I jump, I end up in the lower section, and I'm like, fuck, I want to be up there.
Okay, so we'll talk about it after the show. Because if I'm remembering the one that you're doing, that one, it you've got to shoot multiple portals at multiple times, at different times. Because it's the one where you start in the room and is that the one where there's a gun and it's like shooting a portal and you have to wait for it to rotate around to where you want to go?
No, or because that's before you get both of the portal pieces.
Yeah,
no,
there's another one like that, though, that has all the toxic shit on the floor.
Yeah, but that's a much earlier.
And a floating portal that goes down a hallway.
Floating portal? No.
A platform? Floating platform, I'm sorry, I'm drinking.
It goes down the hallway? No, that's earlier.
Well, then I don't know where you're at.
I think I'm on like 14 or 15.
I'm going to kill you with these neurotoxins.
Have you ever played Portal?
Yes, I have. I'm just...
No, not you were.
Yeah, but I didn't get very far. I didn't want to kill my companion cube.
Dude, I did that puzzle so fast. I had no feeling about my companion cube.
The big deal that they have with the companion cube, and they're like, you know, I expected it to be like, you get it in the first mission, you kill it the 19th, and you had it for like one mission.
Yeah,
I was like,
sorry, okay, I paused quickly.
I'm attached to that now.
Don't be mad at me because I bond with things, okay? It's totally like in that Ghostbusters.
It was the same as any of the other fucking cubes you found. It just had hearts on it.
The hearts are cute.
It was just a cube.
I was like, okay, screw this shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would have bonded with it if it was like the cube that I had through like every mission up until then. I would have been sad that I had to chuck it.
But you only had one mission.
You would not, Ninja. You'd be like,
dude,
bye, bitch.
If I'd had it, I would have still done it. But I would have been like, oh, man, I got to throw in my cube. We've been through so much together. We went through the first puzzle together.
I remember this bird, Mark.
I remember when I chucked you over this corner and you totally hit that laser thingy for me. That was awesome.
When I threw you through the portal.
I am kind of glad about Portal that they didn't, like, give the cube, like, a voice and be like, please don't destroy me. Aren't we friends?
Yeah, she, like, yeah, it's like, ignore ignore it if it talks. And I was like, it's going to talk now, right?
No, it's just
a cube. No. Yeah, it was just a cube. That's why I was like, why are you getting mad at me for chucking the cube? It's just like any other cube. It has some pink on it. Ooh.
Sorry. Maybe in the next game it will actually talk and be like, please don't destroy me like
then
you did.
Then I'll feel really bad.
Yes. If it has any sort of intelligence, I'll feel bad about it.
Like,
and if I spend more than 5 minutes with it.
Yes.
Sorry, I bond. It's like that in that Ghostbusters movie where Igor is like, give her the puppy. Like, they give her the girl the puppy. And he's like, all right, now take away the puppy. It's like,
oh, no! See, I thought you were going to start talking about how Ray was sleeping with the slime.
No.
Ray, you aren't sleeping with the slime, are you?
No.
That was from episode 107, an episode that ran too long and we had to cut another chunk out, which featured us talking about Rock Band, which we often do.
How much is to get a set of Rock Band gear?
If you get the game with the gear, because you can get it now without the whole gear. The whole gear is going to set you back about 160.
Yeah.
I don't want drums. All I want is a guitar and a mic.
Then you're looking at the kit that's going to run you about, what was that, 99? Because it's the game and the guitar. So it's either 89 or 99.
Ew. Okay,
yeah, but
so I'm going to wait a few months.
At the Best Buy... you can buy a USB microphone that's the same kind that's in the box. Like, they have one separately if you really want to do that.
Is it cheaper that way?
Or even, you can even, you know, not even do it that way. You can actually just, you know, wear your headset that probably came with your Elite.
Yep.
And plug that into your, and you put it into
the one that I'm wearing now could work too, couldn't it? Because it's USB.
I think it works with any USB microphone, actually.
The Rock Band will work with any USB mic. They recommend theirs, obviously, because they want you to buy into their stuff. But you can use any USB mic. Where you get into having to use their peripherals or for any of the other pieces. So you've got to use a existing guitar.
A Guitar Hero guitar and a Rock Band guitar.
So the Guitar Hero current guitar right now is a Les Paul. It is heavier. It's shorter. It has a shorter neck. The fret buttons are not as tall or as thick, and they are actually extrude out of the neck, whereas the Rock Band guitar, which is a Fender Strat, the buttons are recessed into the neck. The neck is longer. I find that they're a lighter guitar. Even the wireless version is lighter than the Les Paul. It's a fuller body, so it is wider. For me, it really depends on what songs I'm playing on which guitar I'm better at. If I have a song that's really fast, I got to do it on the Les Paul.
Magic. You know how we were playing Rock Band at my house during that cookout weekend?
Which one?
So the one that you, me, and Ron Button were like, I don't want to use that one. I want to use the white one.
Yeah.
The one that we didn't want to use is the Strat. That's the one that comes with.
Yeah, I figured that's the way it went. Because I played a bunch of Guitar Hero before I ever played Rock Band.
Now, ladies, keep in mind, Rock Band 2 is around the corner, and Rock Band 2 has a new Strat, new guitar.
I know, I can't wait, I'm so excited.
And supposedly they're fixing all that stuff, like the clicky clacky feature there.
The rattle.
Gone. Yeah.
The rattle's gone.
Gone.
Rattle's gone.
Yeah, no more metronomy feely.
Oh no, is there a rattlesnake in the room? No, I'm just playing guitar rock band.
I'm just playing Rock Band and I'm playing a song on Expert. Excuse me. Click 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 click.
Somebody just fall down the stairs. Nope, just playing Rock Band.
Yeah, it's good. I'm playing The Who. It's okay.
I won't get fooled again.
Yeah, Pinball Wizard and Rock Band 2, people. That's all I'm saying.
Master Exploder! I did not mean to blow your mind.
Yeah, people, we're just going to be doing this until the game comes out, so accept it.
And then after it comes out, we're going to be doing it too.
At some point in time, I'm going to mention Pinball Wizard. Then we're going to do a little Master Exploder. Accept it, learn to love it. It's not going away.
Embrace the sisters, because we'll embrace you.
Magic?
I will.
Yes.
Welcome to ESH Team Xbox.
Yeah! Oh my god, we need to become like a super elite girl team and like go into like Halo and Pwn bitches.
When are you going to invent the time of the day for me to get good at Halo?
I need to
Well, you know
Halo.
What? I will construct a time paralyzing device.
Because you're a jobless wonder doesn't mean.
You know what? I am sick and tired of being called. Well, I am jobless right now. Never mind. I am a wonder. It doesn't matter if I don't have a job.
If you don't want us to make fun of you for it, go get a job.
Get a job.
Why don't you get a job?
Another guest who often shows up on our show is Xenocore, the co-host of Ultimate Quest. In episode 146, he appeared on the show and presented the following top 5 list of animes to learn by.
I composed a list here of some anime that if you actually want some deep story that you can grab and possibly learn something from, I have a short list here. Now, yeah, some of these have been released for a while, but they're good. They're worth actually watching more than once.
All right, so the list goes.
All right. Number one, I know not many people may have seen this one, but it is very, very good, and it covers its genre perfectly, which is military space battles. You know, ship-to-ship type stuff, like Star Trek and everything. Starship Operators.
Okay.
All right. This one is basically set up. There is an academy of students. They're on a maiden voyage of a ship for their home country of Kibi, or excuse me, the home planet of Kibi. And it turns out that some, you know, big superpower decides to attack their planet and take it over. And the government surrenders without a shot. But the students ain't having it. So as per the rules of surrendering, all the officers have to leave the military. But since technically they're still cadets, they're not officers. They take the ship. This is a brand new ship that's all sorts of badass, and they decide to fight on Kibi's behalf. But they have no real support anywhere because, you know, there's no more military. So they go to a third-party news organization and offer to sell the rights of any footage that they see inside or outside the ship for their support in getting arms and provisions and everything else. So they basically turn this ship into a reality show.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
See, that I would be interested in watching, and I have written down.
Mm-hmm. But the main reason I highlight it on top of that is because they go deep into space battle tactics. I mean, they're... The highlight character is named Shion, and she's a military strategist. She's quite good. And there are a number of prodigies on here, including the guy who runs the computer and everything else like that. One kid, he's only 16, but he's actually the only commissioned officer on there. But technically, he's still underage, so they don't, you know, he doesn't count for the rules. But there's all sorts of study into actually effects of gravity on shots and everything else like that. They go really deep into the science on this show. It makes Star Trek look like child's play.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that one I highly recommend. Another one.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be in Jean-Luc Picard's face, but anyway, that's just me.
Yeah. All right. Number two, Planetus.
I saw Planetus. That was fucking balls.
Yeah, love Planetus it. Is the best
balls
example.
Being good at the
balls yeah. is awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Planetus owns its genre like a boss, man. I tell you,
like a boss.
Yeah. So,
sorry, I had to go there.
I know I had to too, but basically, this is the most realistic representation of what life would be like when you're living in orbit around, say, 2050, 2075, and covers just the lives of some trash men who are there to clean up space debris. As we all know, just a little pebble that's going at like 10,000 miles an hour can destroy a ship. They're there to clean up things that are about to collide with other things in space and keep everything all nice and safe. And it has a drama behind it as well. But as far as life in space, they cover it to a T. I wouldn't be surprised if NASA sends us up with a shuttle for those guys to look at just so they can feel at home watching a drama. So
cool. They should give that to astronauts.
I think yeah, man, it's really cool. And I think the best little story they put in there is there was a really, really small country that actually has a representative up in orbit trying to design that country's first space project, which is basically a pod to work with in space. But because they're on a war and it's so turbulent down at home, picture if like Nicaragua finally got a space program and tried to get something certified. And they were struggling with all their might trying to find money and everything to finish it off. That was actually kind of cool. I like that story a lot. So Planetus, much win on Planetus. All right. Another one, because you can actually learn something about the sports that I'm about to cover from watching these anime. The first one being Prince of Tennis.
Love Prince of Tennis.
Yes, you can learn. I mean, if you've never played tennis before, if you actually thought about trying to pick up one, watch this one for about 5 or 6 episodes. You might actually think you can play.
You might think you can play.
Yeah, I'm serious.
And then you'll get on Wii Tennis and you'll be a fucking pro and you'll be like, this is easy.
And then you'll go out in the real world and be like, ow, ow,
ow,
ow. Ow, exercise, ow. Yes.
Elbow. I can't hit it.
My Wii elbow's acting up.
Hey, I got Wii elbow, and it's not funny.
Keep going, Zeno.
Alrighty. Alrighty. For the folks who actually like combat, Hajime no Ippo, the fighting Ippo. And this actually is known in the States for a game called, damn it, I'm blanking on the name at the moment. Glorious Boxers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's basically a story of a kid who used to work on the docks. He's always hefting his mom's fishing gear because she runs a fishing ship. Made him naturally strong. Meets up with this one guy named Takamura, who's actually a pro boxer in Japan. And he does so well in impressing Takamura, he brings him to his gym to learn how to fight. You watch the first 50 episodes of this anime, you will want to beat people in the street just to see if you could do it.
I want to beat him now. Jinx, I said it first.
No, said it first. I thought it before you even said it.
No, but I mean, but on top of that, you actually feel for these boxers. The way they actually illustrate how they get damage in the ring, like they illustrate how strong the punches are because they're adding extra art to the normal swings and everything. Like they hit somebody, you see mist and stuff flying up from the gloves and everything else from the speed they're moving at. I mean, it's... Just picture Mike Tyson, and they actually do reference Mike Tyson here. Ippo fights like Mike Tyson, which is kind of weird.
And does he bite people?
No, he doesn't bite people. He's too small for that. But, I mean, he uses the Mike Tyson's fighting style because he's, you know, beefy. So that's he's just muscle his way through.
I knew you were going to do that.
And on top of that, I mean, the little in drama, plus there's a lot of comedy in it. But when it comes down to fighting, this is probably one of the best anime I've seen for it. And I really like it. And right now on Kumbi.com, you can catch some of the episodes on there, all right, of the newer series. For driving, everybody should know this one, Initial D.
Initial D.
Yeah, Initial D. You watch that one from the beginning, you learn all sorts of tricks about racing.
And
driving.
Yeah. So you could avoid those police tickets.
Well, maybe not avoid them police tickets, but if should you ever have to race on a mountain, you'll be the boss. So
Tokyo Drift, motherfuckers.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I think he watched a little bit of that too.
Aww.
And for one examination, right, I say examination because it's historical, but it interjects some fantasy in it to basically do like a what if scenario, and that's Zaipang.
I'm
not sure if any of you guys have seen that one. Okay. Zaipang is basically set up. You take a modern-day Aegis cruiser that Japan happens to have. Now, Aegis cruiser is a missile boat that can shoot down almost anything that's over the water and on land. Okay. Huh? And, yeah, it's one of the most powerful warships to date. What happens if that one gets a little Manhattan Project and all of a sudden is smack dab in the Pacific Ocean June 4th, 1942?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so you have a modern-day Aegis guided missile destroyer in the middle of World War II on the Japanese side. However, the crew is a crew of a peaceful time. So they know that, you know, what was going on with Japan, and they have a library on the ship of the events that happened. And they happen to bump into one military officer from 1942 who's with the Imperial Japanese Navy, and he learns the plight of Japan. And they go examine exactly how would they go about, you know, just trying to exist because they have no clue how they arrived there. It's a complete fluke. The crew has no alliances because they look different. The equipment they carry is completely foreign. It's like they got weapons that could, you know, fly from 200 miles away and hit a dime. You know, it's like how exactly do you trust anybody out there, whether they're even your own people? And it actually examines that pretty closely. And it's a really good story. It's actually pretty good. So
cool. That sounds really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So. They even gave an homage to us, even though it's a Japanese film, because a U.S. A flight of planes from the U.S. actually takes this thing on, and they actually managed to do quite a bit of damage to it. It's like, hey, thank you, I appreciate that. A little nod there, I like it. So, yeah, Zaipang. y'all got to check that one out. It's one of the best historical ones I've seen in a while.
Well, look, that whole list sounds good to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, I hope y'all out in the podcast land were taking notes, man, because these series definitely need to be pointed out.
Finally, from episode 131, Ninja Sister talked about something that still affects us today, the economic downturn, or what they call it on Dead Pixel Live, the Mega Burger.
Here's my piece. Talking about the economic downturn.
God, that's all we've been talking about. Economy this and economy that.
Oh, the economy is big. It's really affecting a whole lot of shit now.
It's like, I have a cow. Give me your chicken.
I don't have a chicken. But arise, chicken. Chicken,
summoning
arise.
Chicken.
Summoning chicken.
Oh, my God. Now I'm getting hungry.
I know, me too. Well, that's not stereotypical. Okay, so let's talk about the economic downturn.
Okay.
If you've been to the website before, or been a fan of what we do here at the Land of Esh for any period of time, you probably are aware of a piece that Evermore wrote a while back. Got a little bit of traffic. Talking about the PS3 and its development cycle and what Sony standed to lose. And it was highly contested and defended by you guys out there, which we love. But
wait, wasn't it the satire piece?
It wasn't a satire. It was just a very blunt, this is, you know, a way that if things don't change, Sony could go broke. The funny piece was we threw in the, and if they did, Microsoft could buy them.
Oh.
Because they're sitting on cash. But the numbers, although they were very simple, you know, added up. And I don't want to say we told you so.
But we told you so.
So here's the deal.
Can I say, I just said it.
Yeah, you said it. It's cool. A lot of companies had to start reporting their earnings, you know, because it's that time of year. And Reuters ran a story of Sony's report. And do you know how much Sony suffered in operating losses?
No, how much? You're going to tell me.
No, guess. Just give me like two guesses and then I'll tell you.
Seven?
Seven what?
Billion.
That's a little high.
Oh, 4 billion?
That's still a little high. They lost. 100,000? No, that's way too low. They lost 2.9 billion. That's with a B.
Oh, I was close with the four.
You were close with the four. $2.9 billion in operation losses.
Holy fuck.
Now, $2.9 million be dropping the bucket money. Yeah, no big whoop. We're Sony. What the fuck? But $2.9 billion, that's kind of a lot of money to lose in a year. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Most companies typically do not survive well when they lose nearly $3 billion. So of course Sony is restructuring. And restructuring means
firing,
shit canning a bunch of people.
I shit can you in the face.
I shit can you. And you. You stay. But you, I shit can
you in the face.
Yes. Also, the Microsoft. They shit cans of people too.
Yep.
They shit cans bunches of people. So, right now you're looking at probably 3,600 people total gonna get shit canned by Microsoft. What's big about this is their first layoff, firing.
Ever?
Ever. That's huge. No.
That's like mega huge.
In the existence of the company, this is their first. Sony down. $3 billion. This is bad for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what you're going to see is that community is going to suffer the most.
And it happened already.
Well, it suffered some. I mean, we've suffered a big loss here. We've lost a bunch of
blogs this year. We've lost a bunch of podcasts. We've lost a bunch of quote-unquote legitimate publications in the game industry and entertainment industry. And, you know, it's really just made me even more determined to make sure that, you know, we stay alive and things like us stay alive. Plus, Destructoid, poor guys over there. I take my hat off, Nero. I send out some love to you. They got hacked.
Hacked? Uh-oh.
Yep. Somebody got into their database and got all their users' privacy information.
Oh, no.
So they went in and they reset everyone that, you know, had community blogs and things like that, reset their passwords and things like that. But everybody was told to go through. And if you use that password for anything else, you probably want to go ahead and change that. So I think that you're going to see a whole lot of things fall by the wayside. I think that this year is going to be really tough for a lot of blogs to stay up. And I think it's going to be even more difficult, and I hope that it's not, for smaller reporting, and I say reporting because we do reporting branches like the blogs that stay behind and the websites that stay behind, like us, to go to events, let alone get invited to events. What my big worry is if you are dropping your community outreach, like for instance with Microsoft, originally Edelman handled their PR. Then they turned it over so that the GamerScore blog folks would handle PR for the Xbox division. And Edelman would only handle PR for Microsoft, so the actual company corporation, software, and the little bit of hardware that they do. I sincerely doubt that they're going to turn PR back over to Edelman.
Right.
So who's going to handle it? Because right now, the only people that I know of that have been left intact in place are Major Nelson and Trixie. Which I'm glad for, because Trixie, I love you, girl. And Major, you know you, my bro. But they can't maintain all of the community outreach. There's no way.
No.
So
two people cannot do the job of 10.
So I'm afraid that there's not going to be a whole lot of community outreach going over the next year. I think that you're going to see one of the major things that gets scaled back is community. Because it's presumed that, well, we've got you, so you'll stay in touch and you'll stay on. And I hope that that's not the case, because that's the wrong assumption to make. And mm-hmm. there'll be a whole lot of things that are going to fall by the wayside. And I think that it would be a massive mistake in the industry to neglect the community aspect of the industry. It's been what's been driving the industry the last year. Okay, MMOs, love them or hate them, have been driving community and profit. Xbox Live makes a whole lot of money for Microsoft, because there's a whole lot of people that want to be able to talk to their friends and play them in games online from their consoles. That comes out of the community. The community games that channel has been really, really popular. You know, Castle Crashers.
I love Castle Crashers.
You know, that's a community game. And so I'm very nervous about the turn that's about to happen in the community. So I'd like to know what you guys think. And I urge you to support your favorite underdog, basically. Support your Dead Pixel Lives and Electric Sisterhoods. And
why'd you put them first?
Because Derek needs help.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, we're
doesn't.
Good.
Derek is a flagship show. He does not need our help.
No, I'm talking about, like, mentally.
I'm not going there. I can't believe
I'm just
that.
Playing. Maybe. But seriously, they're a flagship show. Obviously, we're the flagship show of our site.
But they're a flagship show of the network.
I wouldn't put, like, us up against a joystick.
No way.
Yeah. So I'm saying, from the standpoint of having venture capital, Derek's in the same boat as we are.
Go team venture capital.
Yeah. I would say that Derek's in the same place as we are, in that we don't have any. So that makes us an underdog. Because while joystick has AOL money for as long as AOL holds on, ESH has ninja money, which right now is, well, it's very limited.
No, really?
Yes. My capital doesn't venture very far from my pocket at this point.
That's hilarious. So,
yeah. I, you know, every once in a while, I am funny. But only on days that end in Y. And US holidays. So, being said, support your local podcast, blog, web journal, website, on whatever it is that you fancy. Because if you don't, they might not survive this year. And that would suck.
Mm-hmm.
But we're holding through. As long as I can, at barest minimum, collect unemployment, ESH will be around. Because we love you guys.
We have
love
to come doing this. Rip.
We do. I got, like, you don't even want to know. I'm not even going to say it because it'll wind up on a clip show. See, I'm learning.
I'm glad you are because I'm not.
So, wow. Look at all that great stuff you guys missed out on. Now, you can say that your Esh collection is complete. Too bad there's no online achievement for that. I wonder how much it would be worth anyway. Anyway, I digress. Before I go, you have to keep checking us out on the website, electricsisterhood.com, or the short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you for the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any comments about those articles or questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us to iTunes, you can check us out there, along with the podcast of the Boston Bastard Brigade. Yay, you guys! You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network. That's right, you can hear the Electric Sisterhood currently on Monday nights, 8:30 Eastern Time, which is 5:30 Pacific Time. While you're checking us out there, don't forget to check other amazing shows, like Dead Pixel Live, which I often go on. Evil Avatar's pretty cool. Ultimate Quest, pretty awesome. Video Game Outsiders, they just went live. You should really check them out. Orange Lounge Radio, Fantastic Forum, and don't forget the Bobby Blackwolf Show and Friday Night Gaming. Check them out and tell them to check us out here at electricsisterhood.com. Oh, before I forget, there is one more special thing that I want to share with you guys this week. In December of 2006, Ninja, Magic, and myself recorded a promo for a show that never ended up seeing the light of day. Here's that entire uncut recording session for it, and after you hear it, I think you'll understand why it never made it to the gate. I'm Pandalicious, and I'm out of here. Bye!
This is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Wait a minute, you can't say that.
Why the fuck can't you say that?
Because we're doing a promo, and we need to make that sound classy.
If it's our thing.
Classy.
Look, we're doing... Hold on. Here we go again. All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
You can't say that.
Why the fuck can't you say that? It's our thing.
But we're doing the promo and we have to make it sound classy.
Fuck being classy. Are you saying we're not classy?
No, I'm saying, look, we're doing... If you guys want to hear what we actually sound like, you can listen to our podcast on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. But we're going to keep this thing classy and not cuss.
Whatever. Yeah, right. Let's see how long that lasts.
Anyway, check out the podcast. We talk about video games, we talk about anime, we talk about tech, and pretty much anything else that comes up. Electric Sisterhood. It's all you need.
You heard.
Oh my god, that was awful.
Alright.
Okay, let's run that through a few more times. Mm-hmm.
All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
You can't say that.
Why the fuck can't you say that? It's our thing.
Because we're doing the promo and we need to sound like, you know, like classy.
Oh, fuck, so we're not classy?
I'm not saying that we're not classy. I'm just saying on the promo you can't say fuck.
Fuck.
Fuck! You can't say that.
Okay, so what about duck? Can I say duck?
Yeah, it won't work the same way. Look, if people want to hear the unfiltered version, they should just listen to the podcast.
totally lost what I was going to say after that. Alright. I think we're going to get it on this one, ladies. I think we're going to get it on this one.
You can cobble them together from the stuff anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Alright, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
You can't say that.
Why the fuck can't she say that? It's our thing.
Because we're doing the promo and we need to sound like classy.
Oh, so we're not classy normally?
No, I'm not saying that we're not classy. Look, I'm just saying that for the promo, we should keep it, like, clean.
Fuck yeah, right. Nothing we do is clean.
This is
that's
true,
right.
That's on the podcast and not on the promo. So if you want to hear the unfiltered version of the Sisterhood, then come to the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, and click on the podcast player and listen to our podcast and get the unfiltered version. That's ESH. We talk about anime, video games, and tech stuff. That'll work. Oh, one, two, three.
So Vidus,
have you had your Wheaties today?
I am sorry, I forgot to let my tongue off the leash. Okay, so visit us online at esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi.
Where's all that game magic?
It's not so easy as it sounds.
It's
do
not.
It.
It's really not.
Well, usually you ended at esh.mobi, so I'm trying to go beyond, above and beyond.
Do it. You got it. It's right there.
Just grab it. Play okay. with it a little bit.
Okay, yeah, play with it a bit. Like a cat and a mouse. Okay.
Not what,
I was thinking. That's a great analogy.
What?
Nothing. Move on.
Okay. Rochelle, if you were here, I would totally ask for some daps.
I totally went to the same place, so it's all good.
Alright, calm down, guys. So visit us online at esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi for the full story.
Yeah, Electric Sisterhood. It's all you need.
You heard.